Well, just yesterday, the realization came to me that this morning is probably the last opportunity I have to take a psalm that's quoted in the New Testament. And so I've looked at Psalm 102. But first, let's look at where it's quoted, okay, this time. I think we did that yesterday also. But in Hebrews 1, Hebrews chapter 1, we talked about how the Son of God is being presented as superior to the angels. And in the 10th verse, it says this, that the Scripture says, that God says in His Word this, and it happens to be in Psalm 102. In the beginning, O Lord, You laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of Your hands. They will perish, but You remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment they will be changed, but You remain the same, and Your years will never end. They shall perish. Maybe you know it like this. I know there's a song like this. Thou remainest. Thou remainest, Christ my Lord. Through everything in life, You're always there and You're always the same, the psalm goes, and You are my all. Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of Thine hands. They shall perish, but Thou remainest. I know it's the same, but the song says, Thou remainest. And they all shall wax old, as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt Thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But Thou art the same, and Thy years shall not fail. God is eternal. Well, the point being made here, in connection with the angels, is that they are created beings. But God created them. And therefore, they were not from the beginning, from eternity. He is eternal God. Eternal God. And He shall never end. His years shall not fail. Change and decay in all around I see. O Thou that changest not, abide with me. He never fails. He never changes. His years shall not end. Eternal God. I brought this book this morning because I have something I read in it by G. Campbell Morgan. Who's he? Well, he's a great teacher from England, a Bible teacher, the beginning years, I guess, or the first part of the last century. And I don't know in what connection he wrote this, but there is nothing more calculated to strengthen the heart in suffering or inspire the spirit with courage in days of danger and difficulty than the sense of the eternity of God. And the sense of the eternity of God, to consider that. Well, that's what happened in Psalm 102. If you want to just go back, this comes from the end of Psalm 102. And the writer to the Hebrews is quoting Scripture, is quoting this psalm, but at the heading of this psalm, you read this, a prayer of the afflicted. An afflicted man, when he is overwhelmed and pours out his complaint or his lament before the Lord. He's overwhelmed by his affliction. You read the psalm, you see that. He pours out his heart. Earlier this year, right at the beginning of this year, I felt that the Lord gave us a text for 2009. We usually take a text in our church, and we look to the Lord to give us something. And we had Psalm 62, or we have it for this year, Psalm 62:8, that we ought to trust in the Lord at all times. Trust in Him at all times. O people, pour out your hearts before Him. God is a refuge for us. Pour out your hearts before Him. I guess that middle phrase was the one that really stood out to me. That God calls us, He welcomes us to pour out our hearts When I went to Germany, I read it in the Luther Bible, and it said, Liebe Leute, for O people. I liked that. That means, dear people, dear ones, pour out your hearts before God. God is a refuge for us. And the psalmist really poured out his heart here. He poured out his heart. He said, oh God. And he hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry for help come to you. This is a day of difficulty, a day of anguish for me. Oh Lord. And he poured out his heart. Sometimes when people pour out their hearts, the words don't come out just right. I was thinking earlier this year of Habakkuk, who prayed. He was a man of God, and he was frustrated and concerned about the situations around him. And it was, how long, O Lord? How long till you hear me? Look, can't you see what's going on around us? How people are turning from you? And I'm calling on you, Lord. Remember those days when they turned to you. Now they're turning away from you. How long, Lord? God says, Habakkuk, I have something in mind for my people. They need chastisement, and I'm going to judge them by a nation that is coming, a powerful nation, happened to be the Babylonians. They're going to be judged. Oh, God, how can it be? You're holy. It can't be. Here's Habakkuk telling God that his plan is out of line. You're holy. It says you are of purer eyes than to behold evil. It cannot be that you would punish this nation by a nation that is so utterly ungodly. But God had wonderful things in mind. And of course, Habakkuk did the right thing after he poured out his heart. He said, I'm going to wait. I'm going to stand here and wait God's answer. Wait for it. And God gave him a wonderful answer. God gave him a revelation, not just for the current time, but for the future. The just shall live by faith. This is coming. When it comes, it will come. It will not tarry. It's for an appointed time, but my salvation, I will save my people. My salvation is coming. And I thought, Habakkuk, did you deserve that revelation, the way you talk to God? God knows our hearts. God knows what presses upon us. And he invited us to pour out our hearts before him. And he did wonderful things for Habakkuk and through him for us, giving us that word. Giving us that word that has to do with our salvation in Christ. Quoted in the New Testament as the doctrines are developed there by the Apostle Paul and the writer to the Hebrews. The just shall live by faith. You have the emphasis on God's righteousness. And then shall live, in one of the quotations in Galatians, the life of faith. And then holding on and faith in God. In Hebrews, casting not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Anyway, we're not talking about Habakkuk. We're talking about pouring out our hearts. And this man, the psalmist, poured out his heart before the Lord. And God came to him and gave him a revelation, too. And I just think sometimes when we pour out our hearts, maybe we're seeing things in a very limited way. You know, it's a limited perspective, and we need our sight to be lifted and enlarged and sanctified, and we need the Lord to touch our eyes, the eyes of our hearts, that we might see him. But yet, he meets us in his mercy, and he comes to us according to our need, and he shows us himself. That happened in this psalm, Psalm 102. We won't take the time to read it through, but this psalmist got a vision in the 12th verse. It's really the turning point of this psalm. But you, O Lord, sit enthroned forever. Your renown endures through all generations. That's a turning point. You look at the verse right before, I wither away like grass. I mean, he's really down. He doesn't speak any hope before that 12th verse. It's just, Lord, I need you. Don't hide your face. You are my only help. But Lord, come answer me quickly. I don't have an answer. Lord, I'm in great need. And then, but you, O Lord, sit enthroned forever. Your renown endures through all generations. There is nothing more calculated to strengthen the heart in suffering or inspire the spirit with courage in days of danger and difficulty than the sense of the eternity of God. And this psalmist had a transformed outlook. After that, we won't take the time to go into it all, but he saw that God was over all, and God would rebuild Jerusalem, and God would convert the Gentiles, and he even saw the future, the church of God, and there would be a people that were not yet created that would praise the Lord. Future generations. It's not all over yet. It's not all over. God will work. And then he saw the deliverance of the prisoners. We just talked about that. The anointed one, the anointed Savior, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and so on. You're familiar with that marvelous passage about the ministry of Jesus Christ. He comes to set the captive free and make his blessings flow as far as the curse is found. And this psalmist saw that. And then we have this quotation too. In the course of my life, he broke my strength. He cut short my days. So I said, do not take me away, O my God, in the midst of my days. Your years go on through all generations. Yes, he seems also to have been gravely ill. And I'm sure that compounded his difficulties. But here he says in this wonderful word, Lord, you are eternal. In the beginning you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like clothing, you will change them, and they will be discarded, but you remain the same, and your years will never end. The children of your servants will live in your presence. Their descendants will be established before you. Now, it could be because I was reading that last night that I thought of the other thing, but it's wonderful when we can have hope in our hearts that God's work is progressing, his kingdom is coming, and his will is being done, and have faith towards him. And this sight that this psalmist was given, God is eternal, and he sits enthroned forever. He reigns. Our God reigns. He is over all. Here's a message that the ones with beautiful feet should run with. God is the Savior. He is all-powerful. He is over all. His will be done. His saving purposes shall be realized. They will not be thwarted. And oh, we love you, Lord. You sit enthroned forever, and we are your subjects, and we thank you. Your renown endures through all generations. What a king! Kings and kingdoms will all pass away. The greatest power on earth is passing away. But there's something about that name. That name, we sing it in our white book too, about my heart is stirred whenever I think of Jesus. That blessed name that sets the captives free, the only name through which we find salvation. No name on earth has meant so much to me. There's a verse that says that name still lives and will live on forever. Though kings and kingdoms will forgotten be, through mist or rain 'twill be beclouded never. That name shall shine and shine eternally. Eternally. And as I read from G. Campbell Morgan, God gives us that in his word. He gives us something to hold on to in this time. We're walking here in the valley of the shadow, as we read in the Psalms, but there's a light that shines in the valley. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Praise the Lord. The eternal God is your refuge. The eternal one sits on his throne, and throughout all generations his years shall not fail. Our God reigns. I was thinking of a king who needed to learn that lesson. It's a wonderful story. I think I could read that story in 10 minutes. It's great. It falls under the category of Sister Diane Lee's testimony the other night. Dreams that teach a lesson. I had a dream like that too. Sister Diane, remember how she talked about the young woman who just felt impressed to pray in a funeral? Socially unacceptable, she said, but she interceded before the Lord, and Diane got the lesson that, Lord, whatever I can do, regardless of what others, how they might think of me, Lord, I just want to please you. I'm here for you, wherever you've placed me, oh God. And I had a dream that taught a lesson the other night, too. I was in the front hall of my house. It was late at night, and I left the door open by mistake, I guess. Well, I feel very safe, you know, and I left the door standing wide open, actually, and I was inside. The second door was closed. I was talking to Moni, going over something. She's our next-door neighbor, and we were just standing there in the hall and going over something. I know we were looking at, we work on publications together. And all of a sudden, I heard a noise out there, and so Moni was about to leave, so I opened the door for her, and walking out, and there were two people right on the step, kind of looking in, and they clearly, it was obvious to me, they were up to no good, and so I ran against that door, and I tried to close it, but there were two there that were ready for me, and they pushed it in and came into the house, and my lesson was, don't leave the door open late at night, standing wide open. So, dreams that teach a lesson. Okay. Anyway, I woke up, and nothing bad happened because I'm here, and it was only a dream. But this was a dream that was... Here, let me go with this. Here's the greatest king of his time. Open it, by the way, if you'd like, to Daniel 4. Daniel chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar, the king... He's writing a letter telling about his dream and about what happened to him. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And I told the dream before them, and they did, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. These were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. the tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said, thus, hew down the tree, and cut off its branches, cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts and the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. That means that his mind would go from him, and is in some of your translations, heart is mind. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof. For as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonied. That must mean astonished, for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation, it is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong. For thy greatness is grown, and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. That story speaks for itself, doesn't it? You ever hear a testimony like that? Well, we haven't had the greatest king in all the world in our midst. Earthly king. A dream like that, an experience like that. Did you ever receive a letter like this? He seems to have sent this out as his testimony. Oh, worship the King Eternal. I was lifted up with pride. I was very special. The greatest, mightiest king in all the world. My tree was taking care of everyone, and it was so high that it could be seen for many, many miles. In the dream, it was by everyone in the world. That tree could be seen. And I was so great. God warned him. Why didn't he take the warning? Well, it was in his heart. It was in his heart. Look at all this. Look what I've done. Look at me. Look at me. Great majesty. I have such ingenuity and such power and such ability, and I'm so great. Look at these. Look at all around me, this great Babylon. We've conquered the world. And at that moment, it was fulfilled what his dream had foretold, and he was brought low. Low as an animal, given the mind of a beast. And for seven seasons, till he looked up. Now he knows that the Most High rules, that there's an eternal king, that my kingdom can be cut short like that, and it will be, because I am but dust. Those that walk in pride, he's able to abase. But he reigns forever. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He shall reign forever and ever. And that's what this psalm says. This psalm says he's greater than all. Greater than the angels. Greater than all. That's how the writer to the Hebrews uses it and quotes it there in the New Testament. The Son is superior. He has made everything. Without him was not anything made that was made. And how great he is. Our God and Savior. And he's the same yesterday and today and forever. He's the one by whom the worlds were made. He's the one through whom Zion is restored, through whom the Gentile nations are converted, through whom the future generations are raised up and follow the Lord and are kept unto the heavenly kingdom. And he's the one who delivers those who are enslaved by sin, as we saw in this psalm, delivers them from their spiritual bondage, and he is the eternal King. O thou who changest not, abide with me. We anchor in you, Lord, and we have a hope that is steadfast and sure, because you reign forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's stand to sing number 13 in our hymn books, number 13. Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you, each one. Amen. Well, have a great day. Thank God for a beautiful day. Enjoy the day in his presence.